You're listening to 90.3 Near FM. It's Northside today, Johnny here. And that was Cool and the Gang with Celebration. Now I'm joined with Vice Chairman of Near FM. He's Declan Cahill. We're going to be talking about the outcome of General Election 2020, what's going to happen next, and who could form the next government. Good morning, Declan, and thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Johnny. Great to be here again.
Oh, you're most welcome. Pleasure having you. And especially at such very short notice, wasn't
it? Not at all. No problem.
First of all, Declan, Mary Lou has already begun talks with parties. She describes as having a mandate for change, including, you know, the Greens, Democrats, People Before Profit, yeah, Labour, and a large chunk of independents as well. It's unlikely, though, that they will have enough numbers to reach 80. Would you agree?
Absolutely. I've been looking, I sat down last night and went through some of the figures. And one thing that struck me, it's a bit of a cliche now, I said that the people have spoken, but what have they said? Because at the end of the day, what matters here is the number of seats, not the public vote, you know. So this thing of the vote for change is all very good, but you have to look at what we have before us.
Absolutely.
It's an extraordinarily complex situation because the big tsunami, as we're talking about in Fergus and Sinn Féin, seemed to have taken place about a week into the election campaign proper, because if Sinn Féin had read the signals or had been receiving these signals early enough, they would have run more candidates. The other situation is that in constituencies, I think it was five constituencies that didn't win. You know, I know we have to drill down these figures and so and analyse it later. But the fact of the matter, another cliche, remains that if you look at the sums, for a left-wing government, leaving independence aside at the moment, if Sinn Féin, Greens, Labour, Social Democrats, People Before Profit, that's 66 seats. Now, to get the magical 80, where is that going to come from? Can she corral enough of the independents? Now, many of the independents are not left-wing. They would come from some Labour, some Fine Gael family background, let's say. So is it possible, and here's the thing I'm going to float, is it possible that there could be another confidence and supply minority government led by Sinn Féin, supported by Fine Gael or Fianna Fáil? Now, they say that the individual parties say, no, they're not going to talk to Sinn Féin. I don't know. I mean, Fine Gael seem to be adamant and absolutely adamant that they're not going to talk at this point in time. And what they're saying is, OK, Mary Lou, look, you have the field, go and try form a government. You know, that seems to be what they're saying.
Well, actually, yeah, Leo said only yesterday, we're going to take a step back.
Yeah.
We'd probably end up in opposition and let Mary Lou do what she needs to do.
The other thing that I'm fascinated, I'd love to be a fly on the wall at 12 o'clock in the Dáil in the Fianna Fáil meeting room at their parliamentary party meeting, because there seems to be quite a difference in some members saying whether they should talk or not talk. Some of the Dublin TDs, particularly O'Callaghan, Jim O'Callaghan, is it? Yeah,
it is.
He said, and fair enough, I mean, I can understand where he's coming from. He knocked on doors and said, look, I'm running on the basis that we will not talk to Sinn Féin. So he says you can't go back on it. Other members, Fianna Fáil members, are taking a lesser strict view. So the other issue that's going to come up is that I've heard whispers that people have been saying, look, Fianna Fáil needs a Dublin-based leader. So will there be a bit of a push against Micheál Martin? I don't think so, but there is unease in that party. If there's unease, you're unlikely to get a coherent sort of outcome in terms of getting into bed with people. The other issue is that they have to go back to an Ardesh special meeting to get approval and so on. The other important development is that Labour is going to have a new leader. And they announced yesterday that they will not be taking part in any discussions and taking part in the future government arrangement. So that's six seats gone. Now, whether that holds up or not, but I can imagine that they're going to be taken up with. I mean, they've had a very bad election. They're down one seat from the last count, from the last Dáil. They're going to be, they're bruised, and they're going to have spent time, obviously, looking at what went wrong, etc., etc. But the other issue is that they have a leadership contest. And at the moment, there seem to be three candidates, Jeb Nash, Éan O'Riordan from this the constituency, and Alan Kelly in Tipperary. Duncan Smith, I heard him earlier on saying that he's meeting his constituency people over the weekend. So he might put his hat in the wing. I doubt it, as a new TD. So will the energy of Labour, will that be sucked into the election of a new leader? So if they're out of the fray, the numbers that now are certainly more complex.
Absolutely, yeah. Speaking of Jim O'Callaghan, what's your view on his comments? You know, he suggested Sinn Féin, if in government, would threaten Ireland's economy and turn it into a Venezuela.
Yeah, well, they're very extreme views. I mean, at the same time, you know, being dispassionate about it, if you look at some of the figures in the Sinn Féin manifesto, I think it was written on the basis that Sinn Féin didn't think they were going to do as well, because some of the figures are fairly off the wall, you know. And in terms of our economic future, we have two major threats now coming down the line. One is Brexit. Interestingly, the current Northern Ireland secretary has been dumped by the British Prime Minister, despite the fact that he secured a historic agreement after all those years. You know, he was able to, with Coveney, in all fairness now, they did a great job. So, you know, that seems to be maybe settled down. But if we don't get an agreement on Brexit, our economy is going to be under severe pressure. And the other one, which I think is beginning to bear more weight now, is the threat of the virus, the coronavirus. The impact, two of the leaders, Wuhan and the other province, have been fired in China. New people have been put in. New figures are coming out today of huge numbers who have died. 5 million people were allowed to leave that area. So that, you know, so there's a big, big problem. Production has ceased in many of the cities in China. So product that would be expected to arrive into Europe is not here, and maybe stuff into Ireland. So, you know, we're not sure at the moment of the impact. But listening to a medical expert last night, he painted quite a grim picture that if this thing, if it becomes a pandemic, is that what they call it? Yeah, you know, in other words, if the figures go above a certain amount. And the other problem is that it doesn't spread like, say, from a cough or a sneeze. It spreads from breathing, ordinary breathing, which is a huge risk. And it takes something like 14 days, apparently, for the symptoms to exhibit in somebody. So you could be, that's why the people have been incubated and so on. So that's a big, big threat. The other thing about it is that the central bank report of yesterday, looking at the finances and so on, painted a very good picture in terms of it's vibrant at the moment. But they pointed out that the economy relies very largely on a very small sector of the pharmaceutical sector. Even, you know, there seems to be half a dozen drugs, which makes up most of the exports. So if something happens there, the worry I have is that if confidence in Ireland Inc. From abroad, from an investment point of view, for example, if we, as somebody talking about lurching to the left, a bit like Jim O'Callaghan's Venezuelan threat, if that scenario is perceived to be the case, you know, confidence is a very peculiar thing. You know, when you look at why do people invest? A lot of it is based on pure confidence and strategy and information and so on. So if there's a doubt in somebody's mind, am I going to extend the factory? Am I going to invest? And there's a niggle that is the thing going to be nationalised or blah, blah, you know.
Yeah, well, as you're on that point, actually, there was an article, I think yesterday or the day before, at extra.ie, stating millions wiped of stock of stocks after Sinn Féin's election surge with the Bank of Ireland and AIB among the biggest fallest in Europe. Yeah. And apparently investors, they fear a negative impact from Sinn Féin's policies, you know, to end tax breaks and other radical policies on banking, housing and rent freeze.
Well, it's back to this confidence thing, isn't it? I mean, if somebody feels they're worried about something, regardless what you call them, capitalists, investors or whatever, people are going to get sort of nervous and shaky feet or whatever. But by the way, there's one other thing that has not been mentioned barely at all, is that our national debt sits at $200 billion. $200 billion. It's a huge amount. I mean, that's sitting there. Now, the economy at the moment is able to pay that off in terms of interest rates, etc., etc. But $200 billion? And we're talking about, you know, tax cuts to people. You know, I heard an economist say that, you know, if that was your domestic budget and you had a large debt, you would always try to put some aside to pay off the debt. You know, you'd try to consolidate your debt. You know, all the economists would say, look, get all your debts together and start paying it off and a bit of saving here and so on. So I'm staggered from a personal point of view that people are sort of saying, ah, well, sure, we're able to manage it. That's fair enough. But I mean, that $200 billion came from a time when the country was bankrupt. And, you know, people have very short memories, Johnny, that we were teetering literally on the brink, you know. And the cutbacks that took place. I worked in an organisation which dealt with homegrown industry in terms of exports and so on. And I mean, the economy, the stress that those companies went through in terms of loss of sales and, you know, the whole confidence issue was dramatic. Absolutely dramatic, jobs lost and so on and so forth. So, but the one thing that has come out of this for me, which I'm very pleased about, is that the issue of quality of life has come to the fore, really for the first time. And what I mean by that is that whilst certain parties are saying, look, the economy is buoyant, which it is, but it's not buoyant for everybody. I mean, you could have somebody who now has to... I mean, the old rule of thumb was a guard, a teacher and a nurse could afford to buy a house. That was the convention, you know, in previous generations, because they were steady employment, reasonably well paid, and you could afford to pay a mortgage. That's gone. My daughter's a teacher. You know, she bought a house 7 or 8 years ago, luckily at a good time. But she's in a school where they're trying to find teachers. And they might get 2 applications for a position. And in an equivalent school, say in a rural area, might have 400 applications. So people, you know, teachers can't afford, and they're moving. The other thing is that they have to move maybe 40 miles out and they're commuting and stuck in traffic and the stress and the strain. I remember 5 or 6 years ago, a doctor from Carlow talking about the big increase of stress-related illnesses with young couples because of traffic. You know, they would drive from Carlow, which is about, 50 miles approximately, and they would get 40 miles, no problem. And then they have to beat their way through. And then they got to try and find parking. And, you know, so, I mean, and then they got to try to get home for creches and time. You know, the stress is enormous. So in terms of people's lives, that issue has to come into being. And the other issue, the economists I heard talking recently about, the nature of our investments has meant that it has been tilted towards Dublin, the East Coast. And as a result, the huge pressure on housing and rents, you know, it's very, very complicated.
Yeah. Well, there was a time we were a country mainly of middle class. That has practically almost disappeared. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Mm. And we were at one time a country with a majority of people owning their own houses, correct, homeowners, compared to the United States and the UK. It's certainly not that anymore. So I see where you're coming from. But Declan, what would your view be on a coalition of Sinn Féin, Fianna Fáil and the Greens? What do you think? Could that work?
So Fianna Fáil, Sinn Féin and the Greens. Now, very, very interesting. I'd written down here that one of my combinations last night was Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and the Greens. That would get you 81 seats.
You got it. Yeah, yeah. 81. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And even if they got a few sympathetic, there would be people on the left side who would support that government also, I think. You know, maybe not formally. But the big issue is, the big issue is that how can Fianna Fáil square the circle in terms of their public policy of not talking to Sinn Féin? If you remember the last time, the last government, the supply and confidence and supply agreement, that was never going to happen, but it happened.
Yeah, but I think Micheál has said he might open the door, and we know now that, you know, Niall Collins and Rabbit and Jim O'Callaghan are against forming a government with Sinn Féin. But there may be ways around it if they negotiate.
Yeah, I mean, a formula will be found that it won't be. It'll be. I think what's going to happen is that, given the thrust of the public vote, you know, it's a bit like in America, the public vote in a presidential election is the electoral college elects the president, not the public vote, you know, if you know what I mean. So, but anyway, if you look at the surge that took place, and if you look at the transfers, where a lot of transfers went to left-wing parties, or that side of the political spectrum, and if you take it that a lot of people want change, in other words, that they're saying that over the last 20 years, the formulas that parties have come up with is not acceptable. It doesn't appear to be working. Okay, if you take that as a scenario, people are saying, look, we want to do something different. If that's the case, there is a huge thrust from people saying, look, we can't go on to where we're going. Most people would probably agree with that. I suppose the children's hospital is a big issue. That I'm just getting a note here that my additions, my sums don't work out. There's 38, 37, and 12 is 87. My sums are wrong. I get my figures mixed up. In fact, what I was quoting there was Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, and the Greens. So, thank you, Alan, for spotting that. So, I think people are going to get very impatient, you know, that they'll say about change, but they're going to want a government, you know. Yeah. And and it's not unreasonable for the normal voter to say, look, get your act together, sit down and bloody well sort this out. And, you know, it's not the beyond the beyonds if people accept that. What's going to happen, of course, is that the manifestos that each of the parties presented to the people are now gone, because what I mean by that is that Sinn Féin won't get what they want. You know, none of the parties will get what they want, because it's a whole new ball game. So the extremes, let's say, that people would say about Sinn Féin will be pulled back, but they're going to be pushing for a radical approach to solve the problems. And that's, I think, what people are looking for. You know, they're not looking for the threat of Venezuela. And, you know, that Sinn Féin are very astute people. You know, they're not going to try cause a problem from themselves. You know, they're very clued in. Michael Lowry was interviewed in Tipperary, a very, very astute politician. My favourite person, given his background. But he said on his canvas, he met young people still living at home. And they said, what he picked up was they were saying to him, when he was asking about Sinn Féin, they were going to vote Sinn Féin, or else give him a preference or whatever. They said, we're not interested in the past. We're interested in the present and the future. Very, very telling, I thought. And I think a lot of people would look into that. So the package of the three that are mentioned there, Fianna Fáil, Sinn Féin and the Greens, both parties, but Sinn Féin are very clear. They want to get into government. Greens have said, we want to get into government to implement some of our policies. For Fianna Fáil, we'll have to come up with a form of words which will extricate themselves from the initial position. What they probably will say is that, look, that was our view then. Our view was not accepted by the people, and we have to help to form a stable government. I presume.
Oh, okay, right. Okay. I'm sorry, Declan. Time is catching up, but there's just a couple of things I want to ask you. I mean, what's your view on the possibility that there might be a need for another election?
My personal view is that
it could happen.
It could happen, but I think this is another pressure point which I was going to come to, that the likes of Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael will dread another election. I think they would absolutely dread. And if they're seen to be dragging their heels and not cooperating to form a government, I think they'll be slaughtered. And Sinn Féin might play a cute game now. Sinn Féin might play a game that they will try every effort to form a government, and if it doesn't work, they'll say, look, we tried, we have to go back to the people. And if that's the case, they will reap that reward. Personally, I don't think there's going to be an election, but I think this is going to take longer than people think.
Yeah, it's going to take quite a long time. Yeah. Well, Declan, we have to leave it at that. I'm sorry, we're on the button on the half hour.
I just want to apologise to people for my arithmetic, that I got my figures mixed up there. So thanks, Alan, for correcting that.
Well, I agreed with you. So yeah. you're not alone.
I was reading my wrong line of the notes. But just to finish up, with 87 votes, 87 seats in the Dáil, that would form a reasonably comfortable working majority. And I think you'll also get some support, as I said, from left-wing people also, if some of the decisions and proposals are radical enough.
OK. Right, so we leave it at that, Declan. And thanks again very much for joining us today, especially at such very short notice. And all the very best to you, and take care.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're most welcome. Now, that was Declan Cahill from Nira FM. We were both talking about the various options to forming our next government.